Well, I have managed to avoid preaching on Trinity Sunday all but once in these past 5 years. But darn it, this one slipped by me. So here's a little peek behind the clerical curtain. The three Sundays when rectors try the hardest to share preaching duties with their assisting clergy or a supply priest are the Sunday after Easter Day, the Sunday after Christmas Day, and Trinity Sunday. I would add a fourth, Good Shepherd Sunday. Why is this? Well, rectors are lazy. We're tired out after Christmas and Easter, and we have no idea what to say about the Holy Trinity that will adequately explain it. As for me, I think I have figured out the Holy Trinity as much as I'm ever going to, but I preached that sermon to you in 2019. However, some of those metaphors that I enlisted back then to explain the mystery of the Trinity are useful, I think. And so I think they bear repeating and remembering. How do we explain that three are one and one is three? Well, consider that the Holy Trinity is like water. It can be experienced as a solid, ice, liquid, water, or gas, steam. But its essence remains the same in all three. Or it's like fire, which cooks, creating something new, illuminates, bringing wisdom, and burns, enlivening with inspiration. Finally, I think the Holy Trinity is like cake. Flour, eggs, and sugar are all necessary ingredients, and the cake cannot exist lacking any of them. Cakes also bring joy and hope, and they are often present at important moments in our life. Maybe carrying the analogy too far on that last one. In general and throughout history, any attempt to define the Holy Trinity has bordered on heresy. We just can't explain it. It defies logic. It is mystery. There is a story about St. Augustine of Hippo, the great theologian of the 4th and 5th centuries, who wanted so much to understand the doctrine of the Trinity and to be able to explain it logically. One day as he was walking along the seashore and reflecting on all of this, he suddenly saw a little boy all alone on the shore. The boy had made a hole in the sand, and with a little seashell, he was running to the ocean, scooping up a bit of water, then running back to the little hole and pouring the water in. Back and forth he went, over and over. Curious, Augustine went up to him and said, "Little child, what are you doing?" He replied, "I am trying to empty the sea into this hole." Augustine laughed and said, "How do you think that you can empty this immense sea into that tiny hole and with that little seashell?" To which the boy replied, "And you? How do you suppose that with your small head you can comprehend the immensity of God?" And with that, the boy disappeared. True story. And you've heard of the Big Bang Theory, how all the matter in the universe, everything, was originally condensed into one little profoundly dense subatomic particle that exploded 13.75 billion years ago with a force so powerful that the universe is still expanding today. I sometimes think that subatomic particle was the Holy Trinity. Three essences spinning around each other and bursting with so much love that eventually it had to explode because that love wanted to be everywhere all at once. And today, everything that you touch or see or hear, every bit of matter carries God's love in it. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity testifies that at the very core of the cosmos is self-giving relationship. Selfishness, therefore, is a negation of that very life-creating and redeeming and sustaining essence. That's what I believe the Holy Trinity is, relationship. And everywhere you look, and anyone with whom you interact, wherever there is connection in your life, there is God. A Greek word that theologians have used to describe the Holy Trinity's essence is perichoresis. Peri, meaning all around, like a periscope in a submarine. And chorein, meaning the act of dancing, as in a chorus, because in the days of ancient Greece, a chorus would come out on stage to dance at certain points in a play, which later, of course, they started singing as well. Perichoresis. The Holy Trinity are three essences that dance around each other, filled with love. As my favorite theologian William Bonnell once put it, Trinity Sunday celebrates our marvelous faith that relationship is essential to the Godhead and thus is at the very center of the cosmos, and that we humans are invited lovingly into the perichoresis, the ecstatic dance of joy in this relationship. All our power to love, to be, flows from the infinitely self-giving relationship that thrives with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost in eternally gracious self-offering and other receiving. Whenever you love, whenever you care for someone else, you manifest the essence of the Holy Trinity. It's that simple. And I believe it is that all-encompassing. Like St. Augustine, I have been walking around pondering the mystery of the Trinity. And I have found it everywhere in these past few days as I'm thinking about what I was going to say to you. A few days ago, I heard that the AIDS quilt is being shown this weekend in Golden Gate Park to mark the 35th anniversary of its inception. Over 3,000 panels will be laid out and on display in Robin Williams Meadow. Each of those panels represents a relationship cut short, yet beautifully memorialized. And I think of Robin Williams, the comedian, of how much laughter and joy he brought to so many while he himself struggled with depression, Parkinson's disease, and what was later found to be Lewy body dementia. But his longing to connect burst forth from him despite those ailments. Last Thursday, I was reading the latest issue of AARP magazine, American Association of Retired Persons. William, of course, is much older than I am, so he gets it in the mail. And there was a story about a man named Kenny Kim. For years, he sold Mercedes-Benz and Lincoln cars and was very successful at it. But it consumed his life to the point that he had no time for his wife or son. So she divorced him, and his son wanted nothing to do with him. Realizing he had to make a change, he quit his lucrative job, cashed out part of his retirement fund, and opened Kenny's Cafe in Santa Clara, a small place where he is the sole employee. They are known for their breakfast burritos and hamburgers, some with a South Korean twist, because that's where Kenny was born. Every customer who walks through the door is greeted warmly by Kenny, who takes a photo of them and puts it on his wall. Now that the wall and ceiling are full, he posts them on Facebook. In some ways, it seems like Kenny is trying to make up for his years of not connecting in his family relationships by taking all these photos of new friends. His ex-wife has since died, and his interactions with his son remain strained, but they are working on it. Now, realizing Kenny's Cafe was more or less on my way to work, I went there Friday morning a couple of days ago for a bulgogi breakfast burrito, having seen photos of it online. Kenny was as friendly as advertised, and he was thrilled to see a priest visiting. I was in my clericals. So much so that after I got my burrito to go and we took our photo and I was leaving, he stopped me and told me his life story, his regrets, his hopes for his son, and his joys. After more than 20 minutes, realizing my burrito was now cold, but knowing it was more important to make this connection, I told Kenny that I would keep him and his son in my prayers. Now we're Facebook friends. He's commented on my posts, And I expect that I will try the other breakfast burritos when I return from vacation. But I tell you this story to illustrate that the love of the Trinity, which infuses everything, can be found anywhere if you keep your heart open to it. Even on the toilet, reading AARP magazine, you can be inspired to visit a place where you'll make a new friend and connect more with others. The article closes with these words from Kenny. Every morning at 5 a.m., I stand outside the cafe and pray to God. I say, thanks for keeping me healthy and for teaching me what's most important in life. You don't need a lot of money or a fancy car. You just need to help others and be grateful for what you have. Finally, at dinner on that same day, Friday, a few days ago, William and I went to an Italian place in San Francisco for dinner. We don't cook much at home, if that's not obvious by now. It was actually warm enough up in San Francisco that we could sit outside in a t-shirt, and we had a delicious meal. All of the hosts and the waiters at the restaurant spoke Spanish, so I was chatting with them. At the end of the meal, William stepped away for a bit. Having overheard us say that we were traveling, our waiter came to the table and started telling me about his recent flight to Disneyland with his daughter and his wife. In rapid-fire Spanish I could barely understand, he said, "There are as many people going there now as there were pre-COVID. It's fun, but you're exhausted by the end of the day because it's so much hotter down there than here, and you're waiting in long lines for the rides and spending way too much money. But you know what? It made my daughter happy." We got to have those magic moments, he said in English, that you hope to get on such trips. And the people were so much nicer to each other than I have ever experienced in such crowds. It's almost like they know how precious life is because they've been isolated these 2 years or they've been sick, so they want to be kinder to one another. It happened over and over, he said. It was so good to see. I hope we never forget the lessons that we have learned in these past 2 years. He said all this while wildly gesticulating with his hands and arms, excited at the promise life holds, grateful for the experience he had had with his family. And I just kind of sat there stunned. It felt like having opened my eyes to look around for examples of connection and love that the Holy Trinity point to, they were happening all over the place. Even at the end of a meal from a waiter. I won't even tell you about a meal. The owner of Avocado Toast in San Mateo, who yesterday morning when I went there for some breakfast, insisted on showing me pictures on his phone of his wedding last month. Over and over, here's the bride, here's this. "Wow, your wife is gorgeous," I said. "I know," he cried. "You're a lucky guy," I said. "She's lucky too," he exclaimed. And we laughed. We need more joy and love and dancing in life. If there is one message I believe the Feast of the Holy Trinity imparts to us, it is this: connect. Do not disengage. Relate. Be kind. Be generous. Think less of yourself and your sorrows and needs if you can. Remain open to receiving. And eat out more. May we all find ways to join in that sacred dance whirling all around us, in spite of the years of struggle that seem to lie ahead. Amen.